Stephen Colbert celebrated news that the European Union will admit American tourists this summer, provided they present a vaccine certificate, Colbert said. So this is going to be an elite group of only those who are fully inoculated or own printers. Colbert is upset that Americans are skipping the second dose of the vaccine, saying, "I can't believe it. Americans are saying no to seconds. Many have skipped the second dose. They fear the side effects, which include flu-like symptoms," Colbert said. "Unlike the coronavirus side effects, which include death-like death, some people feel safe enough with one dose," Colbert said. "Skydiving is perfectly safe. I gave you half a parachute. Let's go." Trevor said, "Honestly, in these divided times, it's just great to see all Americans coming together to fail at something so easily achievable. Thanks to the many people who refuse to take a life-saving vaccine, experts now think that coronavirus is basically going to become one of those antivirus pop-ups, you know, like on the computer. We're going to minimize it, but we'll never really delete it. If you can get vaccinated, but you haven't yet, well, this should be all the incentive you need, because you don't want to be getting corona 10 years from now. I mean, think about it. Not only could you die, but you'll be getting roasted for being out of date. And Trevor, just a few weeks ago, we were scrambling for appointments. Refresh, refresh, refresh. Now you can pick up Moderna shots in the 2-for-1 bin at Walmart. Let's talk Saturday Night Live. I didn't get to watch it until Sunday night, you know, Mother's Day and stuff. And I can't stay awake till 1 a.m. on a Saturday night. I actually went to bed. You can make fun of me. I was exhausted. We were out at soccer all afternoon, out in the rain. And you know, when you're out all day, you're tired. I went to bed Saturday night. Are you ready for this? 10 o'clock. I just couldn't keep my eyes open. So I watched SNL on Sunday night. Vulture had a good breakdown, saying SNL continued its extremely sweet Mother's Day tradition of bringing out cast members' moms in the cold open, which featured Miley Cyrus's beautiful rendition of her godmother Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning. If they thought a bunch of adorable moms could distract us from the Elon Musk of it all, well, they were sort of right. You know, I watched that cold open with the wife. Can I go out on an unpopular limb here? I think that might have been the worst thing SNL has done in 45 years. I was bored out of my mind. I get it. You like your mom and stuff, but it was terrible. And I kept looking at the wife. I go, "Is it me?" And she's like, "No, we just wanted to like fast forward through it, but we stuck through it just to see." And I'm sorry, Vulture, and I'm sorry, SNL. That opener was terrible. Elon Musk came out, he did the monologue, saying, "I don't always have a lot of intonation or variation in how I speak, which I'm told makes for great comedy." That was a great joke. I thought his monologue was pretty good. I thought overall Elon did well. He was a little quirky, a little awkward, but it worked. And I thought he was pretty funny, and I thought he was pretty decent in all the sketches. Again, this may be an unpopular opinion, but it's mine and I don't care. Vulture writes, he opened the show with what could generously be described as a comedic monologue. He self-proclaimed he was the first person with Asperger's to host SNL. That became a controversy. I'll talk about that later. And he said, "I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say I've reinvented electric cars and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. Did you also think I was going to be a chill, normal dude?" That was pretty funny. He wrapped up the monologue by bringing out his mom, and he plugged Dogecoin. We'll talk about that. Weekend Update had a really good character, Ego Nwodum, came on as Pauline, who was a weary mother in her darkest hour, which happened to be immediately following a family vacation to Disneyland. Her self-worth measured against how many appetizers are bought for her. It was a really nice character piece, probably the highlight of the show. Some of the Elon sketches in one. At SpaceX Ground Control, Elon Musk and his support staff review a dire situation on Mars. One personal sacrifice is necessary to keep the rest of the Mars crew alive, and the man to make it all happen, Chad, played by Pete Davidson. Chad remains his zen self while the writers up the stakes in the beat of the sketch. The best bit returns to the push and pull of a romantic relationship, in this case with another astronaut played by Miley Cyrus. The best stuff is when Chad does what Chad does best, going with the flow and taking off his pants from time to time. I really like the sketch Gen Z Hospital. If you have teenagers who are on their phone all day with Instagram and TikTok, you guys know how I feel about TikTok. So Gen Z Hospital was a bunch of Gen Zers saying Gen Z things and taking Instagram photos after somebody's mother had passed away during the sketch. It worked for me. In another sketch, Earl the bartender, played by Kyle Mooney, is shot by the Pearl River Gang and a rival group of guys, Beck Bennett, Alex Moffat, and Kenan Thompson, and their weird pal Leron, played by Elon Musk, plot revenge. Leron is in his own world advocating not just underground sneak attacks, but inventing a currency and using rechargeable horses. That's a funny bit. During Weekend Update, Elon appeared as financial analyst Lloyd Ostertag. He was there to explain how cryptocurrency, specifically Dogecoin, worked. Michael Che and Colin Jost kept asking him questions. Yeah, but what is Dogecoin? And finally, Che said, so it's a hustle. And Elon Musk said, yeah, it's a hustle. So I don't sleep well, and in the middle of the night, I checked on my Dogecoin. As you know, my son and I are trying to become Dogecoin millionaires, and Dogecoin had tanked. So what did I do in the middle of the night? I bought on the dip. Then I went back to bed, and I woke up in the morning, and it had tanked more. But Dogecoin is magical and had rebounded by the middle of the afternoon, and I'd done just fine with my money. I someday will be a Dogecoin millionaire. I remind you, do not take financial advice from a guy reading news stories about comedy in his basement. This is for entertainment purposes only. One of my favorite TV critics is Daniel Feinberg. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter, and he's a great follow on Twitter. He said of Elon Musk's SNL, well, it was not good, but it wasn't appreciably worse than four or five other episodes this season, and it wasn't the worst example of my least favorite genre of SNL episode, the, quote, Lorne Michaels ego, unquote, or, quote, grading on a curve category. It's the Lorne Michaels ego category because every once in a while, the SNL mastermind likes to bring on a guest who isn't an actor or musician with something to promote, but just a big name promoting their big name and promoting Michael's ability to get a big name on this big show. Then in turn, because those people aren't trained professionals, maybe we make fun of them for being wooden and amateurish, but nearly as often we grade on a curve using euphemisms like surprisingly funny or well utilized or good sport, which I guess are ways of saying didn't accidentally fall off the stage, swear on live TV, or expose his genitals. Whoa! Feinberg writes, Musk was not surprisingly funny. He wasn't well utilized, but since he didn't seem like a bad sport, I'll say that he seemed like a good sport, but really all I mean is he wasn't Donald Trump. Several of Musk's limbs were capable of movement, and he sometimes gave the impression of knowing how a punchline is supposed to sound. I disagree with this. I thought the episode was decent to good. It wasn't great. Musk used the SNL platform in basically the same way Trump did, namely as a lighthearted image cleanse, a cheerful deflection from all the things people say about him, because to hear him say it, they just don't understand him. To condense, yes, he's awkward, but he has Asperger's. In fact, he's the first SNL host with Asperger's, or so he announced. Daniel says this is factually inaccurate. Cast legend Dan Aykroyd hosted in 2003 and has been very public about his Asperger's diagnosis. Plus, if you look over the hundreds of hosts the show has had, you can do the armchair diagnostics yourself. So yeah, Musk used his Asperger's as a poorly fact-checked punchline, but that tracks since Musk admitted that sometimes he tweets or says things that get him in trouble and they're jokes, people, or something. After all, it's not like Musk has killed anybody that we know of, hence multiple jokes about former SNL host O.J. Simpson. Plus, he has a mother who loves him. So if you don't like things Elon Musk has said or done, chill out about it because he's got Asperger's or he was joking. And if you don't buy either of those, at least he's not OJ. Harsh review there, Daniel Feinberg. From themike.com, did you know Elon Musk once had a satirical magazine? Yeah, they said, I just did the Conan move there. Did you hear the yeah? That's the Conan lift. I stole that. Talked about that yesterday. On March 14th, 2018, Elon Musk tweeted, thud. Hours later, he followed up. That's the name of my new intergalactic media empire, exclamation point optional. At first, it was unclear if he was serious, but the Daily Beast clarified with an exclusive, saying former Onion editors had been working on a secret project funded by one of the richest men in the world. At the time, Elon Musk told the Daily Beast, it's pretty obvious that comedy is the next frontier after electric vehicles, space exploration, and brain-computer interfaces. Don't know how anyone's not seeing this. Turns out Elon Musk really liked The Onion. 9 of the 13 Thud staffers were Onion alumni, but they weren't just out to make another news satire site. They wanted to create immersive satirical experiences that blurred the lines between reality and parody. One of those sites, DNA Friend, a website that traces your ancestry by taking webcam photos of your mouth. TacStorm, a gun that never stops firing, Plug, a universal orifice adapter, and MapFen, a satirical guide to LA restaurants. These projects bled into the real world. MapFen published an actual physical dining guide, and Spitty, a human-sized spit droplet, danced around New York City to promote DNA Friend. This is just weird. Thud's projects were like optical illusions. The website's sleek designs are familiar, yet strange enough to elicit a sense that something's wrong. In a way, the model foreshadowed the company's unfortunate fate. It had money and talent, but 2 years later, Thud's existence feels like a collective fever dream. Thud didn't even have a centralized homepage where fans could keep up with new projects. It simply wasn't set up to retain an audience, make a profit, or sustain itself, likely because it didn't really need to, until Elon Musk pulled his funding. When Thud folded in 2019, one of the staffers told The Verge, making a swift transition from being a billionaire-backed project to an independent media company is, you know. Dave Chappelle got in on the whole Elon Musk thing. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast last week. I have not had an opportunity to listen to that yet. I am looking forward to 3 hours of Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. Chappelle said he didn't understand the fuss over Musk hosting SNL. Chappelle said, like you said, no one can be woke enough. I teased him about being the richest man on earth, and he took it with good humor. What's funny, I had hung out with him years ago. We hung out on a tour bus, and he says to me that night, I met you before. And I'm like, well, I have no recollection. He looked kind of hurt. From popculture.com, Epic game show host Alan Carr shared a joke about Meghan Markle that has people upset. On the game show, Alan Carr asked one of the contestants what her nickname was during the Bullseye segment. The contestant said she goes by the nickname Queen of the Palace. Alan Carr ad-libbed, I think that's the nickname Meghan Markle had her heart set on. Look how that turned out. Whoa. People are all upset at Alan Carr. One tweeted, Epic game show, really? Making snide remarks about Meghan Markle? Are we still on that subject? That's actually annoyed me. Well, tweeter, if you like snide comments about Meghan Markle, definitely do not listen to the Palace Intrigue podcast. That's a podcast I write for. It is 5 minutes a day about the royal family. We love talking about Meghan Markle and Harry. Did you know they have a podcast they're getting paid $25 million for, and they put out an episode in December, and they have yet to put out episode 2 yet? I gotta feel bad for that couple, but they like their privacy, which is why they did 2 hours in primetime with Oprah, and Harry was on a worldwide concert over the weekend. So leave them alone. Meghan and Harry just want to be left alone. So do not listen to Palace Intrigue, a 5-minute podcast about the royal family, wherever you get your podcast. Don't do that.
Hi, I'm music journalist John Wiederhorn, host of a new podcast, Backstaged, The Devil in Metal. Join me for stories on the origins of how Satan slithered his way into metal music. And up the ante on the phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Backstage, The Devil in Metal is available now. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't forget to vote for Top Dog Late Night Edition. This week, defending champion Trevor Noah is taking on veteran Conan O'Brien. You go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. You find the post with the picture of both of them, and you leave hilarious comments, and I will read them on the podcast. From the city, Brooklyn Technical High School offered a social and emotional learning day. This was an opportunity for students and teachers to share offbeat lessons. One chemistry teacher offered a classic comedy Zoom class. All right, that sounds like a lot of fun. What could go wrong? Their focus, Bill Cosby. So I have been programming comedy radio stations since 2003 or four. I think three, maybe four. Whatever. And I currently program the comedy stations on the Live by Live app. Those are free if you want to listen to some stand-up comedy. Plus, I host a weekly show. It's called The Weekly Comedy Thing. It's like this, except I talk a little less and I play some comedy clips in between. So that's called The Weekly Comedy Thing on Live by Live. Now, the challenge on programming comedy channels all these years has always been the clean channel. You would think that would be pretty easy, but there aren't too many clean comedians. And once you say that something is clean, people have different opinions on what clean means. Like, I try and keep this podcast relatively clean, and there would be people who would complain because, you know, every now and then I'll say, like, the word penis. Oh, my goodness. I said penis. Ooh. So Bill Cosby, up until a certain point of time, was one of the main artists you would play on a clean comedy channel. Bob Newhart being another great one. Much of Jim Gaffigan will carry a clean comedy radio station. But Bill Cosby had all that material. And now, you know, Bill Cosby, yeah, you can't do that. One parent wrote on the Brooklyn Tech Parents Facebook group, Bill Cosby is a convicted sex offender. My son says that was not mentioned at all. Head exploding. Another said, I'm the parents of an outgoing senior, and I am beyond appalled at your idea of social and emotional healing. What were you thinking? What precisely will be done to rectify this stunning abdication of any moral responsibility on the administration's part? A Department of Education spokesperson told the city that the lesson titled Classic Comedy, Bill Cosby, was a clear lapse of judgment and should have never been offered. The teacher said, I did mention at the beginning of the session that he's a reprehensible man, but his work was funny and clean. The man may be foul, but his comedy is not. Comedy Central UK has revealed that it has commissioned three new comedy entertainment show formats. The first is called Yesterday, Today, and the Day Before, described as a female-led panel of famous comedy faces offering a fresh and unique take on all that's happened in the world, poring over topical news, blah, blah, blah. Feel like we've seen that 8 billion times. Second one, The Complaints Department, a panel show that sees two teams of well-known comics reveling in this thing the country might be best at, complaining. Over a series of rounds, the teams will be presented with the finest of moans, whines, and protests from the great British public and beyond, from the internet, tweets, interviews, and good old-fashioned stiff letters, as well as finding the funny in the complaints. The teams will be bringing their own gripes to get off their chest. That could be okay. The third is called Face Off, a comedy quiz show in which four comedians, armed with the most impressive facts and fascinating trivia they know, try to outsmart one another through a variety of rounds in a bid to get their knowledge onto the show's prestigious Wall of Facts. 6-hour-long episodes have been ordered for each of those three things. And you need to stay away from high meat. Definitely do not engage in high meat. According to Vice, some people out there think if you eat old, rancid meat, you will get high. Do not do this. What people are doing is they're letting raw meat rot for days, weeks, or months, and then eating it to get high. Do not do this. The claims are they are hallucinating or feel a sense of euphoria, and others are saying it's probably the same way most of us feel when we do something we're not supposed to do, like eating rancid meat. Do not do that. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.